Resume your. Thank you, sir. Good afternoon, everyone. I want to welcome all of you to this Las Animas County Board of County Commissioners work session. Today is April 1st. It is now 1 p.m. I'm going to call this work session to order. Please rise for an invocation by Commissioner Tony Haas, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance by Commissioner Lucero.
Heavenly Father, thank you for another day. Bless every moment of today. Guide our words, our thoughts, and actions so that we may reflect your way. Give us the courage to face your challenges and the wisdom to make decisions that honor you. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty.
Thank you, Commissioners. A roll call, Mr. Dorenkamp.
Commissioner Haas.
Here.
Commissioner Lucero.
Here.
Commissioner Lopez.
I am here, sir. Thank you. Approval of the agenda. Do we have any changes to the agenda?
No changes, Commissioner.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. I'll entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
Move to approve the agenda.
Second.
Commissioner Lucero.
Yes.
Commissioner Haas.
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez.
Yes, thank you. I want to thank all of you. This is one of those rare opportunities that us, the Board of County Commissioners, we come together to on behalf of the citizens that approved this particular grant and all the nonprofits throughout the community that get an opportunity to apply. So thanks to all of you that approved that particular line item. It is an honor to have you here today. And so there is a lot of presentations that we have this afternoon. Some of you have to go on to other engagements. And so for that, we're going to limit the presentation, you said, to an hour each. Today is April 1st, right? 10 to 15 minutes. And this is not going to be we hope to have a conversation with you because your programs are really fantastic. Each and every one of you programs is making a difference in the community. And the first program that we're going to be calling on is Mr. Faria has another engagement to go on real quick. The reading program, the writing program, anything that is going to be packed in those little ones, the next generation that's coming behind us, so very important. So as we go with the Trinidad State, Tony, you can actually, after Mr. Faria, you can go after that, okay? So Chris, welcome. And if I may call you by your first name, sir, thank you for all the work that you do. And we appreciate the impact that you're making throughout the entire county.
Thank you. In case anybody doesn't know me, I'm Chris Faria. I'm one of the board members for the Los Animas County Creative Writing Contest. And I need to make sure that we recognize the Trinidad State Foundation and Tony DeAngelis because everything we do flows through them with our 501c. So thank you, Tony, and thank you, Trinidad State. The Los Animas County Creative Writing Foundation, or Creative Writing Contest, I should say, has been going on for many, many years. And thanks to our sponsors' support, we're able to do it bigger and better every year. And before I forget, County Commissioners, thank you so much for your generosity in funding this project. We wouldn't be able to do as much as we do without your cooperation and sponsorship, and along with our other sponsors also. I'll just let everybody know our committee members. We have two new ones this year. Everything kind of goes through Trinidad State. We have an English instructor that is from Adams State, and she's on board with us. Her name is Carolyn Gracie. We have a new English instructor here at Trinidad State that has replaced Dustin Hyman, who was here for a number of years. That new teacher instructor at Trinidad State is Tanika Heidelberg. And we also have Tom Nordgren, who's been with us through Trinidad State for a number of years. Myself is on the committee. And then our two rocks, Laura DeBell is sitting in the audience right there, has been involved with not only our project, but many other community projects for a long time. And then our other rock is Miss Armil, the school teacher there with the two little ones from her elementary school at Fisher's Peak. And we wouldn't be able to function without especially Laura and Anna. In fact, I tease Anna, I had to pick her up at school today and she drove over with me. She's what I call my little helper, especially when we're driving in the car, because when the light turns green, she says, go, the light is green. Or if I have to get off on the exit or turn on the street. So thank you, Anna, for being my little helper. I might not have made it here without you.
All of us need one of them.
I think you all have one too, right? Just a little bit about us. The main thing is for the kids and working with writing with them, but I just want to give you a little bit of input from what we do. I'm going to grab a couple things. As you know, we put out a book every year. This is the book from last year. We printed 100 copies of these, and we sell them for a discounted price at the awards assembly that we have every year. Last year, we sold out at the awards assembly. We have none left except for this one that I made sure I kept for you guys. We also, these books, by the way, cost us about $25 to publish, but we sell them for $10, thanks again to the sponsorship that you're all able to help us with. We do a calendar for the last couple years, and we've got one for you guys, and it shows obviously the highlights of our awards assembly, some of the kids and their stories. So we've got one of those for you. And then we also give out to every student that attends our awards assembly this nice little notebook that has every student that submits a story for us, it has a pen and paper with it. And we had a few extra of those, so I'm going to bring these up.
Thank you, sir.
So a few things. I did some stats just for some numbers to show you guys, everybody here. Last year, we had 141 submissions for our book, and that the submissions are after the teachers basically screen and judge their own classroom's writing. So there's a lot more than just 141 kids that participated last year. We want the teachers on that level to screen and submit from 3 to 10 writings for each of their classes. This year, just some numbers, we have 201 submissions, and that's still after the screening process. Some numbers last year in the K to second grade division, and we did 4 divisions last year. This year we're doing 5 because kindergarten's a little bit intimidated, and it's a big learning curve from kindergarten to second grade. So we made a separate division just to recognize the kindergartners this year. So last year in the K-2 division, we had 17 entries. This year we have 25 total combining those two. Last year in the 3rd to 5th grade division, we had 42 entries. This year we have 67. Last year in the junior high 6th to 8th grade division, we had 21. This year we have 47. And then in the seniors high school division, grades 9 through 12, last year we had 37. This year we have 62. So obviously it's a growing thing, and I think everybody involved can say it's getting bigger and better every year. In fact, this year, with the larger number of entries, we're pretty sure instead of doing one really big book, we're going to do two books. We're going to do one book for the elementary level, that's K through fifth grade, and then we're going to do another book for the junior high and high school kids. We give out prize money for all of our participants that win either first, second, or third in each division. And we do give out a little bit of prize money for the honorable mentions too. This year, we're able to give out six scholarships, $500 scholarships to Trinidad State. That's the most we've ever been able to do. And we're very honored and proud to be able to offer those to kids here in our community, especially to help them with the hardship of going to college. We also give out prize money for teachers. Teachers that submit three or more submissions for their class, we give them some prize money to do whatever they want with. Most likely they're going to use it to buy more Clorox wipes and stuff for their class, but we wanted to recognize the teachers to go on above and beyond. We do these really wonderful banners for a first place winner with the student's picture on it, and the schools that have won those in the past few years proudly display them either in their gymnasiums or in their school hallways. It's a pretty big deal for a first place winner to get their picture hung on at their school. We started these trophies last year for school participation. It's called the Rising Stars Award. I picked up one. This is from last year. Last year, Fisher's Peak had 24 entries, and we will engrave again on it how many entries they did for this year. So it's kind of a standing trophy for each school to display this. Another thing that we're really proud about is two of our kids that are ninth graders from Primero, and we like to think that with our contest, it helped them a little bit. Their names are Brooke and Bailey Gallagher. They are ninth graders. In case anybody doesn't know it, both of those girls, while they're going to school, also write for the Chronicle News and for the World Journals. That's a pretty impressive thing for somebody that young to do. I think the most important thing that we do is for the students. That's what it's all about. And we get community involvement through TSC, through the TSC students. By the way, the students judged a lot of the writings this year. And obviously through all different sponsors. Through the schools and through the teachers. So it's nice to have a really cohesive work with everybody that's involved. But again, most important is the students and what we're able to offer them and help them with. And the last thing I'm going to do before we have a couple honored guests that are going to come up is just to say our awards assembly this year is at Massari Performing Arts Center on May 7th. At 5:30 p.m. And we wholeheartedly invite you to attend. Don't be late because it only holds 250 seats and it's going to be packed, I promise you. And again, thank you all for our support, your support with us. And now we have two honored guests that we're going to let speak just a little bit.
Thank you.
I wouldn't be able to do this without my little helper.
Hello, my name is Luna, and this is my friend Eva. We are both 5 years old, actually 6 years old. Also, we are both in kindergarten. We love to tell stories, but when we started kindergarten, we did not know how to write. We began learning letters and sounds, and from there, we learned to write words and sentences. Our teacher would write stories for us every day and told us we would learn to do the same. She worked with us every day until we were able to write our own stories. We love reading and looking at books, and now we can write our own stories and make mini storybooks for others to read. We were so excited when our teacher told us about the writing contest and that our stories could be published. We worked hard and had fun reading our stories to our classmates. We would like to thank you all for everything you do to make learning and writing fun for us.
Hold on there. Yeah, go ahead. Okay.
My Adventures by Luda Gange Johnson. Once I wanted an adventure to go see the world. First, I traveled to Africa to see the tall giraffes and the enormous elephants. Next, I traveled to New Orleans to taste the gumbo. It tasted amazing. My last stop was Egypt. There, I saw the breathtaking pyramids and was grateful that I did not meet up with any mummies. It was an amazing adventure. I cannot wait to see what places I will visit next. The Walk by Eva Levin. Sunday morning, I went to my grandma's house. The skies were beautiful and the trees were blowing gently in the wind. My grandma and I decided to go for a walk to the lake. We saw the water sparkle. With the sunlight, the sparkle seemed to dance on the water. The hot sun warmed our back, and as we walked closer to the trees, we could hear pine needles crunching under our feet and the sweet sound of birds singing. After walking for a while, my grandma and I walked back to her house and enjoyed some homemade cupcakes and a glass of cold milk. I will always remember this beautiful day with my grandma.
Thank you.
No, thank you. And keep up the work. You know, it's for all of us.
Thank you.
I wish I was right back there. You know, what an opportunity there. So who's going to follow that act? Thank you, Mr. Faria, and all of you that work on this fantastic program. Certainly an honor to be part of it. Thank you.
Good job, Mom and Dad.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. How do I follow that? Well, commissioners, thank you all for having us and for your continued support of programs at Trinidad State. And I think I'll start off by mentioning, as probably most of you know, it's a big year for Trinidad State. 100 years celebrating our 100th anniversary. And so we've got some events planned this year, and we're very thankful for the sponsorship to help us promote and encourage participation in our events. Our first kickoff event is April 11th, next Friday, which is our Founders Day. Not quite our actual Founders Day, happened to fall on Easter this year, so we had to move it up a little bit. But April 11th is our Founders Day, as well as our library renovation kind of grand opening, since all the renovations have happened at the library. So we're really excited about that. I wish I had enough keychains for everybody here in the room, but so in addition to Founders Day, August 8th through the 10th is our weekend extravaganza where we're anticipating over 200 to 250 alumni and friends to come back to campus, visit for the various activities that we'll have on campus and in the downtown area. Also at our Alamosa campus, we have a luncheon June 27th. So of course, anyone's welcome to attend that celebration as well. Next, kind of on our list of support is our Colorado Opportunity Scholarship Initiative. And I know Commissioner Haas and Commissioner Lopez are familiar with it, but Commissioner Lucero, it might be a little newer for you. It's a program that we've been able to benefit from the Colorado Department of Education, and they offer matching funds for monies that are raised. And because we're from a county with a certain poverty level, we qualify for a reduced match. So thanks to Los Animas County's gift of $7,300, that has basically turned into over $29,000 in scholarship funds for students from Los Animas County attending Trinidad State. So each year we're helping, and even though we partner with Adams State, we do it on a basis of percentage of enrollment. So majority of the enrollment is here. So probably 27 or 28 of the scholarships stay in Trinidad and at Trinidad campus, or for Trinidad State, I should say. And then last was the Prater Gun Range. And again, you know, that's one of those areas. I know Commissioner Lopez is very familiar with the gun range. It's for the benefit of Trinidad State, but it's also a community opportunity to go out and use the range. And so support just for general operations really goes a long way, because it's, you know, the foundation manages it. We have a caretaker that lives out there, and the fees and everything that we charge, we try to keep costs fairly low. So it's something that really helps us keep things moving. So I don't know if there's any specific questions about any of those programs or events coming up.
I just want to give Trinidad State a shout out. I'll reveal how old I am, but it was in a few years back that I actually, one of the great individuals picked me up at the bus station, and I went to college. I didn't know how to speak English. And what a great opportunity. I have such a respect for the college, and I have such a honor for a community that supports education. What we saw there with the creative writing is such an important thing. And for our community, I would love for everyone to get involved and go celebrate the 100-year anniversary, 1925. I have read the story, how the city and the county came together at the time. And it would be an enigma, but I would like to find out how many lives have been changed. Back when I attended Trinidad State, there were 400 plus international students, which I was one of them. And I remember the first time that we went to Central Park, we were playing soccer. And some of the people from the community were wondering, what is it that you guys are doing? Mm-hmm. Soccer was so new, but nonetheless, we had this amalgamation of diversity back then as we do now. Congratulations on that. Wish you the best on the celebration. It is an amazing institution. And so in my family, all five of us went to Trinidad State, through Trinidad State. And I tell you what, we have a story or two to tell. So Mrs. DeAngelis, thank you so much. On behalf of this board, we just want to say thank you for all the things that you're doing, commissioners.
I'm just wondering if you have a song and dance routine to trump the last.
I don't. That's just not my forte.
Thank you for everything for the community.
Thank you. One last announcement, and I wish I had some to bring today. We published a 100-year commemorative book, over 220, I think it's 224 pages. A lot of the history, pictures, photos, they're supposed to arrive tomorrow. So we'll have those available probably in the next couple of weeks for anyone that's interested in those.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you. These were not.
Excuse me, Brian Rowski, but
yeah.
Ladies said we couldn't leave if we couldn't get a picture with you three gentlemen.
Oh, absolutely. Let us come up here.
We'll break the camera. It is every 10.
It is my great honor to call on the Stanley Harmon Post 11 American Vision Department of Colorado. So once again, here is another one of those entities that makes such a huge difference. Last week, we had an opportunity to visit with an individual from the community. And this person brought to us that we have some veterans that are unhoused within our community, just like we have them all over throughout the United States. We connected that person with our veteran service officer, with the services that Las Animas County provides. Sir, Judge, welcome, an honor to have you here today.
Hey, thank you all. Such a privilege to be here. I just want to recognize, so when I, on behalf of American Legion Post 11, solicited this nonprofit grant request, it was on behalf of American Legion Post 11. So I'm here representing American Legion Post 11, but look at these fine veterans with me. Gentlemen, can you, ladies and gentlemen, can you please stand? They are here just to tell this board how important your commitment to what we're doing and your belief in us. So thank you so much for being here and having this presence. Ladies and gentlemen of the board, I've been the commander almost 6 years, and I love serving with these veterans. And I have to tell you that this board has continued to support and believe in our mission. It's changed as far as what I've asked when I submit the nonprofit grant. But for the last 3 years, what I've asked for is to support directly our Veterans Trust Fund. And I'd like to talk just a little bit about it. And I'd like to recognize Mr. and Mrs. Jerry and Bernice Renner. If you could just please stand. And I'm going to brag on them because they are the backbone and they are working every day tirelessly. And again, if you wish to speak, please, you could certainly talk more specifics than I can. But I can tell you, this VTF has evolved in 3 years. 3 to 4 years ago, we were struggling. We were trying to solicit and say, hey, listen, we have this money available for you veterans that reside in Los Animas County. And now that's not a problem at all. Now we have veterans lined up, very needy and worthy veterans that are asking for help. We've expanded the scope of products and services. We pay for firewood, we pay for utility bills, we pay for even behavioral health, we pay for house payments, car payments, you name it. We've expanded the scope and coverage of our veterans here in the county. And because sadly the reimbursement is so slow, there's constant questions that are posed to Bernice from the state, the Colorado Department of Veteran Affairs, that we are always short of liquidity, cash flows. At the last American Legion meeting, I think the report was we were still waiting for about $7,500 from the state. So we always are in need of money. And that was the purpose of my request to this board. And you've answered. And we are so very gracious. We are so very thankful because, one, you believe in our organization. And two, you believe in this Veterans Trust Fund. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for supporting us and what we're doing and the veterans in this county. Jerry, Bernice, anything you'd like to say? Because I am not stealing your thunder. You are the reason for the success of the Veterans Trust Fund. You've expanded it from $15,000, and now we're expecting up to $45,000 of money that is being spent to serve our veterans in the county.
Thank you, Judge.
Just a little thing that I'd like to add, and thank you, John, for all that you do for the American Legion and all the veterans in Los Angeles County. Thank you, veterans, for your service. wonderful group of men. They will help anybody. So thank you very much for that. Giving us the opportunity to help veterans is an honor, and we surely appreciate it. One of the other things that has just been approved this year is that we are now able to help widows of veterans, which is something that we've been trying to do for the last 3 years, but it was finally approved this year by the state. So we're getting that out there to all the widows of Los Angeles County who are married to a veteran. We'll be very happy to help any of them that need the help. Thank you.
Thank you.
Speech, speech.
Speech.
It's been an honor to serve these veterans over the last 3 years. Your money, your very generous contribution will help us. There's kind of a gray area there where we don't have any funds for maybe a month when the fiscal year starts. So your grant money will, we don't have to tell a veteran, you know, we sure would like to help, but we don't have the money right now. So your contribution solves that. We can continue to help these veterans. So thank you very much. I appreciate all your help.
Thank you, Bart. Thank you, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, any questions that I can answer or anything else that you'd like to know about the American Legion Post 11 or about this Veterans Trust Fund that you continue to support year after year?
Thank you so much. Thank you, all of you, for your service. Naturalized citizens like me enjoy the freedoms of this nation because of the sacrifices that you go and pay for. And that will never go unnoticed from my perspective. Thank you for the service. What a great nation. What a great group of individuals. Recently, I was in Washington, D.C., representing Colorado. And one of the things that I remind people way out there is, if you give us the opportunity at the county level, we know how to get it done. We have community. We have people that look out for one another. A little bit emotional right now, but certainly thank you. Thank you for your service. And this is so near and dear to the Board of County Commissioners and to the entire staff of Los Angeles County. Thank you, sir.
Thank you all.
I'm going to call on Ms. Joni Steiner, Earth Mountain Education Farm.
Thank you, County Commissioners. Once again, we appreciate you with the nonprofit grant and supporting your nonprofits in the community. Earth Mountain has been a nonprofit since 2004, working for community initiatives, a lot around food access and food security. So, you know, it might just seem we're farmers, but we're much more than that. So we do focus on that, and we really appreciate, we do have that internship program for you that has been successful since 2015. And I have a few pictures that you might be interested in that I'd love to show and hand in with that. So you can see some of the things. So Earth Mountain Education Farm is a nonprofit outdoor education center, if some of you aren't familiar, and we run the Trinidad Community Garden. I've been there since 2005. We work with Tora on that. And this year we have over 14 gardeners in there that people raise their own food, and families are support each other in growing their own food and learn. And then also we are developing a new garden in downtown called the Cedar Street Discovery Park from a very lovely person who has allowed us to be there and bioremediate that land due to some of the pollution levels that we found. So we have, it's only in its third year, and we have pictures here. Can we send to?
Sure, you can just pass them around. Yes. Yeah.
So these are some of the interns. Can you name it?
I think I probably know.
A before and after of Cedar Street. Here is spring and fall of the community garden. So between both gardens, we track how much we're growing there. They're all on a community basis. The Cedar Street Park is a food access park. So if you are going hungry and you need food and you're looking for something, come in and and volunteer for a couple hours, and we exchange for garden stewards to be there, get connected to the community, be in a beautiful space for mental health. And that helps us stay open longer because it is a managed space. And we're growing, and that's in trade for some of the food that's there. So that has access to the community there. We love expanded Pana programs. We are tracking the food, and we tracked over 2,500 pounds of food that was grown through our programs. We are at the farmer's market. We're starting a midweek market this year. So that'll be at Cedar Street right out front. So it's average. You can feed for 1 to 2 pounds per day. We have 2,500 pounds. That'll feed 2,500 people for a few days. Okay. So every little bit helps. The other thing that we do with our gardens is people come in all the time and say, do you have seed? I don't know how. I don't know. So as for an ag center in the middle of town to support families who want to grow food in their own yards, we're going physically to their yard. We're giving them the supplies that they need. We give them the educational support they need. We try to build a good community pool so people can help each other. It's not about farmers growing more food and having thousands of acres. It's about more of individual families being able to support themselves within their own community and within their own little family units, neighborhood gardens, that kind of thing. So we work in that, and we really appreciate your nonprofit funding that helps support those interns. I have a couple testimonials from our interns. They come back year to year. The community garden interns, those kids, they're on their third year now. And it is a paid program. So if you have a student or a young person in your family that's 14 to 18, they can sign up for an internship, a little bit of incentive in their pocket, and a lot of long-lasting memories and a lot of skills to be able to grow food for their families in the future. Because once you get their hands in the dirt, it's pretty forever. So if I could share a few of our intern because that's a highlight of a gardening experience was pretty new to me. Usually I don't go outside unless I have to. Usually I have gardened before, but not often because of where I live. I feel this job was a good opportunity for me to learn something new. I don't see myself as a hardworking person, but I tried. I guess it was interesting learning about plants and trying to grow a new life. I have taken gardening courses, but that honestly didn't teach me as much as I thought. We all had some laughs and working because everything can't always be serious. Fighting the heat was also pretty hard, but I got through it. I met some new people working here and made a friend. My two bosses are pretty amazing. They taught me new things about plants. Usually bosses don't care about how you feel and work you until you have to go. But at this internship, the bosses care for you and how they feel, how you feel. They let you take breaks when you need. Every day, the environment gets worse, like plastics in the ocean or gas or chemicals. This garden made our town just a little bit better, Now people have a good, fun place to be together. I don't really think I had a big impact on the garden except for making signs. They had a lot of big impact, but it was great, and it was a great experience. I felt good helping the environment and the community. If we keep this up in the world, we'll be a better place. It makes me sad to think how about we are destroying the earth. We need to make earth a better place, and we are helping one step at a time. Although the sun was miserable, working here is something I would recommend to anyone. I've gotten so much healthier. I used to play outside, but when COVID hit, I was in a dark place. I never hardly went outside after that. So it's good to be outside. Many people walk the streets homeless or needy. I believe we can help them. I feel bad for the people on the streets. All in all, I want to help people and the earth to be better, a better place, and to inspire. So just that impact that we have on those kids at the at-risk time, you know, where they could go either way. I've had a lot of parents come to us saying thank you for this program. I see students that are now in positions of leadership because we've been around for a long time, that we've really helped steer in the right direction. They realize that coming to a place that they're doing something for the community is very, very something that there's not that much opportunity that they see. And this gives them that highlight for them to be a part of something that they can really feel good about in bettering their community. So we appreciate that. We also have that intervention internship, which this is also for adults that are 20, 18 and up, but we have a lot of that in their 20s up to 30. We have 18 to 30, a lot of people who are coming out of COVID, that they were in high school in COVID and really just don't, where they've been raised on social media, that just don't have a very good view of themselves. They are in a dark place and need intervention, as we see. It could be addiction related. It could be mental health related. We have an internship with them. We work with KTS. We work with the probation department. And that is also a paid program after 2 weeks. You show up for 2 weeks. You can start to get paid. There's a place you can go that's supportive. And I've had people say after they're done their community service or after they're done their internships, they say, can we keep coming? Can we just keep coming? Because they need to be supported with people who are healthy. You know, they just need that healthy support system and that carries them further and they can stay straight. So we also have that intervention. I know a lot of people don't know about that. So if you have anybody who needs intervention in the community, doesn't matter what age, you can contact us and we can do that. So thank you for that, because some of the funds is going to support that internship program. And it goes a long way. We also are spearheading this year an canyon cleanup, an annual canyon cleanup, and the flyer here. So this is because Earth Mountain Education Farm is in Wet Canyon. We thought that would be appropriate to get the people out for a half day event and clean up their canyon. So this is just the pilot program for Wet Canyon this year. And then we hope we're partnered with the county. We're partnered with Stonewall Fire Department on this. And some funds from this nonprofit grant is going to support this program. And so we're going to pilot it this year in Wet Canyon. And then we hope that we're working out of substations in every canyon in the future. I've already know that Bon Carbo, I know that, you know, our La Garita station and the people over there really looking forward to when it hits their canyon. So they might just participate already. But Stonewall Fire Department has been very supportive with that, working out of the fire stations and having that as a meetup place. So that is spearheaded this year as an Earth Day event. So we hope that happens annually. And I think that is all I have for you. Do you have any questions for Earth Mountain Education Farm?
I have one. I know you're a huge homeless advocate. And do they participate at the, you know, in any of those level gardens?
We have had people who come, and we haven't had soliciting. Like people said, once we moved to the Cedar Street lot, people were really, really concerned about stealing and this and that. We've had no break-ins. We've had no stealing of anything. We have no solicitation. So being a managed space is really important. And we are building a kind of a little park for the kids and everything. So families are feeling really safe there. Because it is a managed space. We've had a few of the homeless population who come by that we know are not drug related, that we will occasionally pay on an internship if they continue to show up. So we've had maybe two people that are consistent with that, and that has helped them a lot. It has helped them lift. It has, they show up at market and they, you know, are able to plug into something and start bettering their lives. We check in with them, make sure, you know, are you on, are you staying on your medication? Things like that, how you doing? So it's a check-in place for sure, for support for that. But it is pretty regulated, you know, so we also watch out for that because we're trying to keep a safe space for our community and for the kids. That space also is, Grace Christian comes often to both gardens to help. Fisher's Peak in their elementary school is helping to build the secret sound garden that's gonna be in the Cedar Street Park. And so we do partner with a lot of the schools. We offset compost from the high school and the middle school, and we're using that to build soil. We've also worked with Trinidad State and offset the compost there. That's just a lot for us to handle. So, and we're starting that Garden Steward program for anyone who has a little bit of free time that wants to kind of get involved, feel like they're doing something for the community and be in a beautiful space. So I think what we do is build community around our essential need of food. That's going to strengthen us. It's our first essential need. It's going to strengthen us no matter what, that if we, you know where to go, if you're going hungry, you know who to contact, if you need help with your garden, and also the encouragement of eating healthier, you know, so.
I need a lot of help. I got a black thumb. I don't have a green thumb.
Well, we can trade that need for for garden vegetables. But I think that the work that we have done over the years, it's just, I think more and more people are asking more from us. So it's, people are coming back. The kids are, you know, rave about being in the internship. They come back every year. You hear that they're out there in the hot sun. They have to harvest no matter what, rain, snow, anything. So they really work hard, and they come back every year because they love it. So the challenge is great for them.
Well, Joni, thank you so much. I visited your farm up in Away Canyon. I mean, I brought up a group of students. What a great day they had.
I know you and grabbed the hoe out of their hand.
We did. And also many years ago, you brought the program to Trinidad State. We provided a space so you can farm there. I don't know if you remember that particular year, and I remember you planting the Three Sisters Garden. So keep up the good work. Thank you. And on behalf of the citizens and this board here, we thank you for the work that you do.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate that. And so once the garden is ready, we go to the Trinidad Community Farmers Market. Krista Frank?
Not Krista.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I am Suzanne Magnuson. I'm representing the Trinidad Community Farmers Market. We will begin our market June 21st, and it goes all the way to the second week of September. That's every Saturday at Chimino Park from 10 a.m. to, or I'm sorry, from 8 a.m. to noon. And we host roughly 30 vendors. That's including local farms and growers, ranchers. We have craft makers, makers of all kinds of things. We bring people in from other parts of the county, other counties, honestly, to be able to sell their goods. And we like to provide, we're here to provide fresh food and products for the community at large. We thank you for your generosity for the grant this year and in years past. This year, we will be using that funding for our Double Up program. So we work with the Senior Center and with SNAP. And so any SNAP recipient or seniors, residents in the county, it's a dollar for dollar matching program that they get up to $20 a week. They come to the market, they speak with our market manager. He gives them a voucher for it, and you can spend that on any fruit or vegetables at the market. So that benefits our vendors. It also benefits, of course, our seniors and those people that are, you know, experiencing food insecurity. So we're really proud to be able to present that, and thank you very much for it. We also, your generosity will help us advertise the market further into the county and into the community. And we just want all our vendors to be supported. We hope that you all come to our market. It's so much fun. There's always music. There's a band. The library presents at the farmers market. They read books for kids, like first thing in the morning. There's yoga sometimes. It's just a really, really great thing. And I think people from all walks of life in the community are able to participate and mingle in an area that maybe they wouldn't cross over in a daily life. But we want to continue supporting this. This is our fifth year as the market in our board as we exist now. And we're really proud of the work we do and proud of our growers, our farmers, and our community here in Los Animas County. Yeah. Any questions?
Commissioners, well,
questions.
Thank you. I'm one of the regulars, so thank you for having that. Right. I think it's especially when you mentioned SNAP,
yes,
the partnership that is going on in there to introduce some of our recipients to healthy and good food.
Right. Yeah, and that was a big jump 2 years ago that we were able to get into the SNAP program, and it was kind of a headache, to be honest. But it was such, we really, really saw the value in that, and it was worth the headache in every way. So yes, supporting the community and continuing to help with providing fresh, healthy food as Joni does. So yeah. All
thank right. you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your work. Friends of Aguilar. Oh, hi, Karen.
Hi.
Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Yeah.
It's morning something, right?
Right. I'd like to thank you all for supporting us again this year. You supported us in the past, and it seems to be that we ask for help when we have something catastrophic happen. Last time, one of our pots was set on fire, and we needed to replace it. And so we really appreciate the support. The Bloom Team was originally started in 2021 as a way to get people more involved in the community of Aguilar, a way to beautify the downtown and just make it a community project. And it was originally funded by volunteers or by donors locally, mostly businesses. And the person who ran it left. And so we had to start over, and that's when we joined with Friends of Aguilar. And since then, the folks from Friends of Aguilar have been super supportive. I'm a member as well. We get together every year. We have a planting party in the spring. We invite the entire community to come and plant with us. Everybody just takes those flats of pots and goes and picks a pot and plant, and it becomes, you know, they can take some ownership of a particular pot. The planting party is always a lot of fun. We've been having our issue this year was that last year, whether it's the deer or the bears or people, we're not sure, we've had a lot of vandalism. We can't do anything much about the bears and the deer, but we're hoping that by involving kids in the program, that the community will see even greater value in the program. We got together with the STEM teacher, Michelle Grande, and thanks to Superintendent Cowan for facilitating that for us. We purchased seeds. The STEM program is going to grow our flowers for us this year, and they were surprisingly really excited about it. I wasn't sure how the kids were going to take it, but we showed up and they were super excited. So we planted last week. We've already got seedlings coming in. We've got about 25 different kinds of plants growing already in the greenhouse. Hopefully they'll all come through. And then the students will keep watch over them for us. It's part of the whole STEM program. They will also then, you know, seedlings need to be repotted. They'll do that for us. I've kind of been guiding them through the whole thing, working with Michelle Grande to do that. But yeah, community involvement's always been our number one goal in this project. So, the other problem we had this year was that I'm not sure whether we had blowback from spray from Roundup in the town, or whether we had, again, vandalism, but a lot of our plants were looking very sad this year. So we decided that it was a priority for us to have to replace the soil in the pots. And that's expensive. So because of you, thanks to you, we are going to be able to do that and kind of get a fresh start in our pots. And hopefully we don't have to do that again. But without you, we couldn't do that this year. There's no way our community is not that big, and there's not a lot of money in our community. And even though we've had some extremely generous people donating to us, this was a big chunk of money to do this. So yeah, we really want to thank you, and I've got pictures for you. I'll send them to your email. But they have a great greenhouse at Aguilar School, and that's where we're growing our plants. I'm jealous. I want one. Do you have any questions?
Well, you use one very key word, community, and that's what it takes.
Yeah.
It's community.
Yeah, we put up signs and posters every year inviting the entire community to come. We give a little lunch afterwards after we're finished. Anybody's watching, you're more than welcome to come and help us. It's always a good time.
And I'm glad that you're making this kind of a curriculum through a horticulture, through the school district, mm-hmm. so students begin to understand the cycle of the biological process that takes place. So keep up the good work.
If this continues, we'd like to do more along the lines of food production and a community garden, but that's in the future. So, but that's where we'd like to go with this after this settles down a little.
Well, thank you for the work you're doing, commissioners.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. This was a scramble to get all this. We didn't do it in any specific order, so now I'm going to call on the Trinidad Police Department. Interim Chief Tohanovic, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
Great.
Shop with the cop.
Hi, everybody. I'm Leandra. I'm the Community Service Officer at the Police Department. This year, we received a grant for Shop with a Cop. This is the second year that Los Angeles County Nonprofit has supported us in this project. This year will be Shop with a Cop's 13th year in Trinidad. So for 13 years now, this amazing community has fully funded Shop with a Cop. We don't receive outside donations. It is entirely this community. As the community grows, the population of students has been growing. Unfortunately, the job market has been decreasing. That's impacted our donations and increased the number of students being nominated. With continued sponsorship from Los Angeles County Nonprofit and continued donations from the community, last year we were able to help 65 children have a little better holiday with Shop with a Cop. The children were not only from Trinidad, they were from Aguilar, they were from Camaro, they were from Honey. We accept all children in Los Angeles County that are school-aged to participate. Last year, because we received such a generous donation, we had a grandfather contact us right before Shop with a Cop that he was emergency situation, taking in 4 grandkids. Could we do anything to help them? We were able to get the 2 older kids in with an officer for shopping, and the younger 2 were toddlers. So we sent one of our admins and a detective out with gift cards for them, and they went and bought everything those kids could need for Christmas that year. So just, it's a really great program. It's not possible without continued support, and we're very grateful that you guys continue to support us.
Well, congratulations. We see that's Department of Corrections, State Patrol.
Yes. Yes, it is not just all the local enforcement agencies, parks and wildlife come down, everybody. It is a big port of entry.
Fantastic.
What a great morale booster for you guys and also for the community.
Yes.
Recognize the service that you provide. Kudos.
It gives an opportunity for families and for those whom you come in contact with to really understand what law enforcement is all about. I don't know, Mike, I'm going to put you on the spot just a little bit here, but I think, you know, doing ride-alongs would also be something that if the community would be interested in doing a ride-along to see the community from the perspective of a police officer, that might be another opportunity to connect with our community.
Absolutely. We encourage the community to come out and ride with our officers to see what we're experiencing. Our governmental officials as well, city council members, the invite's always extended out to everybody to come right along with the police to see what we go through and see how much we actually care about our community and the effort that's put into making sure that our town is safe.
Thank you so much. Thank you, both of you. All right. Trinidad Las Animas Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, Ms. Romero. Good afternoon. How are you, ma'am?
First of all, I'd like to say thank you for the invitation to be here today. And also thank you so much for the grant approval for the Trinidad Las Animas County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, as well as the Southern Colorado Coal Miners Memorial and Scholarship Fund. Within the Las Animas County Hispanic Chamber scholarship area, we review and fund three students who receive financial award scholarships to attend the local college. These are given to the students directly, and they're given the opportunity to renew that scholarship by reapplying and meeting the eligibility that's required to receive a second scholarship to Trinidad State Junior College. We also coordinate and facilitate fundraising events and activities locally to raise our own funds for this nonprofit. Monies that we receive are used for advertising and promoting each event. This organization also involves itself in the city's overall Halloween candy giveaway to the children and families of this area, the Thanksgiving food drive, and the Christmas toy drive. Within the Southern Colorado Coal Miners Memorial and Scholarship Fund, 50C3, we work in conjunction with the Trinidad State Foundation. One scholarship is awarded to a student to attend TSC. TSC handles the application process in which the Southern Colorado Coal Miners Memorial Committee is a participating sponsor and partner. The selection is based also on eligibility, and final selection is made by the Southern Colorado Coal Miners Memorial Committee. A donation from this organization will be sent to the foundation to continue this process. This organization also will use funds to promote Trinidad and Las Animas County tourism. Monies will be used for the community Halloween candy giveaway, as well as the utilization of funds for the purpose of providing information and refreshments to visiting schools whose students tour the museum for the purpose of learning this community's coal mining history. This year already, we've had students from New York City who attended to learn about, they ranked second in their first endeavor, and they were here now to learn more about the history of coal mining and other things here at the museum, and take back what they learned to process their next step in achieving their goals. We also had a group from Denver, well, from Colorado, all over Colorado, who visited, and they were here also to learn about coal mining history and also about the community at large. We also had a group who came. This happened like all at once, but it was okay. We had the volunteers to help assist in seeing them through the entire organization's work, and so it was done. Ludlow is an auxiliary part of the Coal Miners Museum mostly, and with that, we connect with the folks who are presently doing the grounds work, you know, to study the land out there for this the historical nature that is this community. Want to thank you for the cleanup and the preparation that you do, you know, for the Ludlow Memorial and land out there, and invite you to the services which we do every year. It's the 111th, I believe, anniversary for us, and so you're invited to come June 22nd, 10 a.m., where speakers will be featured, as well as free barbecue after for the folks who attend, to learn more about Ludlow and this area of the county outside Trinidad. I believe that's all I have, unless you have any questions of me, but I want to thank you for always your support throughout the years. We became involved in 1988, and evolved from there to the present with the 501c3, which is the Coal Miners Memorial, and have done our work primarily with the help of folks like yourself and others, you know, other grant writing, small grant writing, but primarily the work of the volunteers who do all the work to maintain the museum, the memorial, and assist out at Ludlow when needed. And so with that, if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer if I could.
Ms. Romero, thank you. I'm going to give you a huge shout out, because I visited the Miners Memorial Museum, and when you see the replication of what was back then, when the miners were actually mining coal with the mule and all the whole thing. There is a book that I actually, you or your husband recommended, and I actually bought the book. Is the Coal, the War on Coal.
Right.
And it relates all the incidents that led to the Ludlow incident that we had. It really speaks about Louis Thicus,
yes,
who actually became one of the revolutionaries on behalf of the labor group of individuals that were on that time fighting for equal pay. But the story is so fantastic. If you get an opportunity, stop by the museum and take a look at what an imperative and what a cornerstone for the United States of America right here in Los Angeles County. So thank you. Keep up the fantastic work that you do.
Thank you. And thank you for your support, continued support. And if it was not for our volunteers, I don't know how much we could get done. And so with all of you who have volunteers and workers, I commend you, because it's all we have and it's how we get the work done. So thank you for
your
support.
Thank you, Ms. Romero. Thank you so much. Aguilar School District. And do we have anyone?
That's you.
Elizabeth Jameson? Yeah. Okay.
I do have pictures she sent us to.
Okay. Oh, I was going to say we're going to put a tardy remark in there. Okay.
I forward them to the committee, but I will forward them to you.
Thank you.
It's really nice.
Thank you. Mount Rose Health Palliative Care Hospice, we have Monica. Do we have anyone from Mount Rose Health Palliative Care Hospice? Okay. Los Angeles County Veterans Council. Mr. Phillips, good afternoon, sir. Great to see you.
Good afternoon. Great to see all of you. My name is Bill Phillips. I'm representing the Los Angeles County Veterans Council, as well as for Veterans Memorial Square. And first of all, thank you so much for your support over the years. As you know, the Fort Wooten is owned by the Los Angeles County Veterans Council, and our primary charter is to rehabilitate Fort Wooten for the safe, sanitary, comfortable use by veterans and the community of Los Angeles County. And we take that charter very seriously. We use Fort for all the veteran activities that we can bring to it. We try to make it the central location for veteran activities. We are always there for the veterans. The American Legion is there. Daughters of the American Revolution are there. Obviously, the Los Angeles County Veterans Council is there. We charge minimal rent to a number of organizations just so that we can create some funds to keep the electricity bill and the gas bill and the water bill paid, as well as the maintenance. We've had lots of generous grants in the past, including ones from the county and the city and other places. But it is a big job to keep the fort going. We have a number of people that are meeting there right now. We've got the Kendo folks that come in and they practice their art. We've got the Fort Wooten Acoustic Society that meets there every Sunday, playing guitars and singing. And in the process of doing maintenance in the forts, things happen. And one of those was unforeseen this year when we had a furnace go out in the Veterans of Foreign Wars building, and we had to replace that, and your funding helped us get that done a couple of weeks ago. Thank you again. And I should say that the Los Angeles County Veterans Council was formed in 2006, and it is a 501c3. The American Legion, of which I'm also a part of, is a 501c19. So these are two different nonprofit organizations. The American Legion, being a veteran organization, qualifies for the Veterans Trust Fund, which is funded by the state through the Department of Military Affairs. And since we are a C3 in the Los Angeles County Veterans Council, we are eligible for the Veterans Assistance Grant. So very much like the Veterans Trust Fund, the Veterans Assistance Grant is part of the Los Angeles County Veterans Council. And we, like the American Legion, provide support to veterans for the kind of help that they need, whether it's housing, electricity, fixing their automobiles, health, behavioral health, and your funding. Last year was very instrumental. It has created about $40,000 of support over the last year and a half for veterans through the Los Angeles County Veterans Council. So, again, thank you for what you're doing. We work very hard to rehabilitate the fort. It's a never-ending job. As you know, we've done historic structure assessment through the State Historic Fund. We have worked during the last year on getting, and we have funding for the construction documents that are required in order to shore up Holloway Hall. Holloway Hall, we believe, is the most important part of Fort Wooten, because it's a medium-sized venue that can be used for a number of activities. But as you know, it's old, electricity's old, bathrooms are old, the heating system it's wonderful, but it's old. And so as we progress through time, our goal is to rehabilitate. Means it looks like the fort, but it has all the modern amenities. So we'd like to get the electricity upgraded. We'd like to get the heating and air conditioning upgraded and structures stable and the roof stable and all those things. And we do that through nonprofit donations and donations from people like you. And again, we thank you. Any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Phillips. You know, I want to once again thank you, and thank you for your service, and thank you to all of you for your service. The opportunity to, you mentioned behavioral health. I regularly attend the meetings with it's called the BHA, Behavioral Health Association or Administration from the state of Colorado. And one of the things that we are had a meeting last week reminding them that Las Animas County is still part of Colorado, that if we have access, we had access to some of the services, either even if it's telehealth. So we have now a point of contact with the VHA for any and all veteran services. We are going to be communicating that information through our VSO. And important that we have the support that is needed for counties like ours. You know, we're a rural frontier county. So very important. But just be reminded, this board is always open for any comments, any questions. And it is an honor to be able to sit here and say, thank you for the services that you provide to our veterans and to our community.
It's been our honor to do it. And on the behavioral health front, we probably all know veterans are very proud people. And they're a lot of times they will not ask for the help that they need. And that has made it difficult to get them in front of the people. But we are there to fund them if they're there.
And it's our honor to serve you guys.
Yes. And you know, what we have to remind our people in Denver that a veteran, just like a farmer, may not go to just anyone, but if they have another veteran that they can lean upon or another farmer that they can lean upon, then the communication eases up a little bit and they open up. And I think we have opportunities that we need to explore. And I know the wheel is already there. We just have to shine it up and buff it up a little bit. So,
and that's where the fort comes in handy, because the American Legion Post 11, very popular organization. I mean, most communities do not have support in the American Legion front that we do. And I think it's because of exactly what you said, that group of veterans can get together and provide support to other veterans from veterans. It's veterans helping from veterans. The other thing I failed to mention is we have inside the fort, the Linda Walker Building, named for Linda and Dave Walker, who subsequently passed. But we house any homeless veteran that needs help. They can come. We've got four rooms that they can stay in. We've got a kitchen. We cook for them. And they've got a place to get out of the weather and stay while they're getting back on their feet and doing whatever it needs to do. And your funds go to help that also.
Well, thank you. And Dave and Linda Walker are very, very, they're rejoicing for the work on their behalf. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Great. Do we have anyone with the Trinidad Music Association? Ah, yes.
You're probably wondering which association I'm here for.
Well, I have, no.
We all wear many hats.
Yes. I'm Virginia Jimenez. I'm representing the Trinidad Music Association today. We, to my knowledge, this is the first time the TMA has ever applied for a grant.
Oh. But
so,
it could be the last.
I hope not. Okay. No, I think it's just, you know, it's a matter of like who has the time to write the things, right? So the capacity that I serve, I'm a member of the Trinidad Community Chorale, which is the Our Adult Choir. But I am also the program director for our children's choir, which we just started this year. My husband would be here with me, Vinny Gumlich. He's our music director. But he couldn't find a sub for school. He has taken over the band program at the Trinidad High School and Middle School. So he's very passionate about music education, but they didn't have someone. They were like, Virginia could do it. And I was like, no, we both. So that's where he's at right now. We started the children's choir the last Sunday of February. And it's free for students between the ages of 8 and 12. We do have 1 7-year-old and 1 13-year-old. So we kind of just like, we're like, whoever wants to be here and it makes sense. We have 21 students in our children's choir right now. And we have about 5 weeks left until our concert. They'll be performing with the adult choir. to make things a little easier on Vinny. So only has to do one big concert. And that will be on May 10th at 7 p.m. at the Masari, and then May 11th at 2 p.m. also at the Masari.
For Mama's Day, that's right.
Right, yes. Yes, it is Mother's Day. So, but yeah, we're really excited. We've been having a good time so far. The children are, they're really funny. Varying degrees of being able to read music. Most of them can read. They all have different experiences. The same is true for our adult choir, though, as well. Vinny spends a little bit of time every rehearsal saying, this is what this symbol means, so that everyone's on the same page. Yeah, come sing with us. The adult choir, we do have a membership fee, but for the children, it's free. And this is the first time we've added the children's choir. The Trinidad Music Association has been around for quite some time, but I believe has only been a nonprofit for the last 4 or 5 years. So that realm is sort of new to us. We're kind of figuring those things out with the help of Pete Frazier. She's our treasurer. We're trying to get our handbell choir back up and running. And then before COVID, we also had a chamber choir. At the moment, I don't think we have a big enough choir to create a chamber choir out of that group, but that'll probably come back at some point. But we knew that a children's choir would be popular and important because I don't know if you know this, but there are no longer choir classes at the middle school and high school. It's just the band program now. And part of the reason, I don't know how to talk about any of this without talking about Vinny. Like, yes, he's my husband, I'm his cheerleader, but he's also like really amazing from an objective point of view as well. They called him to say, hey, we need another teacher for the band program. Will you come in and do it? And he really does not want to see the music in our community go by the wayside. We have such a rich history of music and community bands and community. There's so many things. And so he wants to keep that going, and creating the children's choir is part of that. So the money that you gave us is helping us to manage our first semester. But I think it will also be enough for us to continue in the fall as well, which is part of our goal. So, and then I hope that we have the youth choir for ages 8 to 12, and then we'll have a teenage choir at some point. And so eventually every choir will just feed the adult choir. So are there any questions?
Well, thank you. You may have mentioned, where are these classes for the 8 to 12-year-olds?
So we meet once a week on Sundays. And we are meeting at the Fellowship Hall behind Zion's Lutheran Church at 3 p.m. And that space is being generously donated to us for that purpose.
Very good. Yeah, and I was actually very serious when I say to my fellow commissioners with the adult classes, they might be interested in joining this choir.
Yes, come sing with us. The adult choir meets, we meet once a week, Monday evening at 6 o'clock, and we meet at the old Methodist church right next to the Masari. So that's where we have a lot of our assets are housed there, and that's where we meet for our rehearsals.
Could you use a baritone?
Always. Yeah. Are you kidding me? Right. No, we need, yes. No, we need that. We really do. So yes, come and sing with us.
Well, what an amazing program, you know, and today, what we heard from every one of the presenters, impacting community, making a difference, creating perspective, and opening up the future. Mm-hmm. And so for that, I keep hearing this from more, sometimes money. Yes, money is really helpful, but we need the volunteers that go out and actually mm-hmm. execute that. So to you and your husband, I know both of you. And so thank you for the work that you do and all the other volunteers behind your team. Thanks on behalf of this board. And we also want to say thank you to the voters that approved these funds to be made available to all of you. the county's team that actually has to go through all the writing. So keep writing those grants, keep sending them, because, you know, the only grant you're not going to get is the one that perhaps you didn't apply for.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So I don't have any other comments, any other questions. But congratulations. Thank you. And keep up the good work.
Thank you. And the concerts in May are free, by the way. They're always free.
But you will be accepting donations, though.
Absolutely.
Very good. All right. Want to make sure that we put that out there.
Yes.
Yes, very good. Thank you so much. Well, I want to thank all of you for, on behalf of the Board of Los Angeles County Commissioners, I want to thank you all for being here today. It is one of those opportunities that we have where it's all positive. Our regular positions, not every day is that we, you know, we get this type of opportunity to engage with our community.
Did he say rare opportunity?
And so for that, thank you all, and thank you for your service. Thank you for representing the community. And let me close with this. When I go to Washington, D.C., one of the things that I like to do is I ask them to put the Colorado map and then to highlight Los Angeles County. Most of the people in Colorado do not know where Los Angeles County is, much less in Washington, D.C. So it is an honor to be part of this team and to work for you all. Thank you so much, and keep up the good work, and congratulations on all the things that you do. Thank you. And commissioners, I don't have any other items on this agenda, so I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
We don't move.
Second.
Commissioner Cerro?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes.